there in you read this morning, Psalm 47. I try to read the Psalm before I come to church every morning, but I couldn't wrap it into this message. Would have liked to, but at verse 7 and 8, it says, "For God is the King of all the earth." This is religion in our world. This is it in a nutshell. David said, "For God is the King of all the earth. Sing you praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of holiness." People don't sing with understanding. God's holy and sovereign. He's not granddaddy. Sing with understanding. That's what sing. All right, that's it. Couldn't wrap that into this message, but I thought that's religion in our world. People singing, don't know what they're singing about. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to read a part of 9 and 10. But the message is the middle part of verse 10. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see. That's the title of the message. He shall see his seed. Look at the latter part of verse 9, where it says, "He had done no violence." This is our sinless substitute right here. "He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased his Father, our God, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." And the way this reads best, I think, is when his soul shall make an offering, then he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's two thoughts in what we're going to deal with. One is you got the active life of our Lord. To see is to live, isn't it? Dead men can't see. So he lives. He lives to carry on the work of calling his elect, building up Zion, his church, what he's about. He lives to make intercession for us. Christ lives. He feels. He looks on and takes part. Your Lord, our friend, our Redeemer, in him is light, and that light is the life of men. And then you've got this. You got the death part of it. And the death comes before the life part. Even though he's eternal, for us, the death came before the life part. That's the first point. Christ's death produced future generations. Posterity is an old word. Descendants. It says, when thou shalt make his soul, or like I say, when his soul shall make an offering for sin, then after that he shall see his seed. Look at Psalm 2. Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen, this is that why is sort of a double coin. Why do the heathen rage? We ask that every day, don't we? When they're out in this world, why do the heathen rage? Why do they hate what we believe? Why do they hate God? But the other side of that coin is this, and that's what the latter part of this verse says, and the people imagine a vain thing. Then on the other side of that, why is, like you would say to your kid when they do something stupid, why in the world would you do that? That's the other part of it, is because whatever they're doing, it's a vain thing. They're imagine, it's a done deal. Like I told you last week, time is not with God. There is no time with God. It's all now with God. So it's a done thing. So why do they imagine that they're going to do something to our God? Said the kings of the earth and the people and the rulers, they set themselves against his anointing, and they say, let's break his bands, cast away a cord from us. And the way they do that is they think, cast us away. And that's where it's coming one of these days, I think. They're trying to cast us away. If they do away with us, that's the way it's always been. If they do away with the voice, they do away with Christ. But no, no. And that's what we'll get into in a little while. And the Lord, the Lord just laughs right now. But one day he's going to turn from that laughing, and he's going to get angry. That's what he's saying. He said, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. It's a done decree. He's just going to let everybody else know it. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. What's he talking about begotten there? You have to be careful with that word begotten, because he's the eternal son. So he was a son given. He was never begotten as we think. So be careful. You have to read these words. And sometimes just read them and keep them to yourself. And just admit that's pretty deep. That begotten is pretty deep there. But over in Acts, David gives us a bit of a hint of what he's talking about there over in Acts 13. I'll read it to you. Acts 13:33. God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And a better way to understand that to me is, this day I've brought you forth. When he rose, this day I brought you forth. To do what? Well, he says in verse 8 of Psalm 2, ask me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That's his death. What I just said guaranteed him a posterity. Amen. Futures and futures and futures of descendants. Text doesn't read, the Lord has followers, does it? Our Lord had a lot of followers when he was on the earth. That's not what it says. Specifies seed, doesn't it? Doesn't read, the Lord has disciples. Now that brings it a little tighter, doesn't it? But that's not what it says either, is it? It says the Lord has a seed. Seed. Why seed? Well, over in John 12:24, it's a completely different type of seed. But I think it gives you an idea of where we're headed. John 12:24, the Lord said this in verse 23. He said, the Lord Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is coming that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's going to the cross. That's what we all know that. That's what he's talking about. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat shall fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. In other words, what he's saying is, I got a kernel of corn here. If I don't plant that kernel of corn 100 years from now, I may still have that kernel of corn, but that's all I'll have. That kernel of corn's got to go into the ground and die. And it bringeth forth much fruit. How many kernels of corn are on one cob of corn? But that one kernel had to die, didn't it? It had to be put in the ground. That's different seed, but gives you an idea of both in the same direction. It's talking about a future of people. So why seed? Well, because all true followers, why that word, what, the word seed? Because all true followers or disciples of Christ are born by a new birth. They're put into the position of a disciple. They're born by new birth. They're placed there. There is no knowing Christ except by new birth. In our old life, our old nature will not follow the Lord. It's just against our nature. We run away, avoid it. Now, there's a world of people who may try for a while, but that old nature, they don't have that new nature. You see what I'm saying? They don't have that new in them to keep going. So it sort of peters out over time, don't it? See it all the time, don't we? All the time. They may last 6 weeks. They may last 60 years. But over time, it just there's nothing there. Born again is the entrance gate. Being born again is the entrance gate into being a follower or a disciple of Christ. Christ's disciples are produced by a miracle. You see what I'm saying? It's a miracle that makes me do what I do, makes you do what you do. Our Lord said, I, not you, I make all things new. All things within you, somewhere in here, something is new. I can't explain it. I can't keep ginning it up all the time. Something in me is new. And all I know is what I read about here. I can't explain it. I just tell you and read about it. Something happened. If you're different, something happened in here that you can't explain. But this spiritual birth, is a vital connection, has a vital connection to our Lord's death. It's impossible without it. There will never be life in you without our Lord's death. Understand that? They'll always be connected, always. That's why he uses this word seed. What are the implications of this statement? The seed statement. He shall see his seed. Well, the first one is this. All who truly are saved and follow have his life in them. The parent's life is in the child. Child's life comes from its mom and dad. So it's Christ's life in every believer. Every believer. That's what Colossians 3:3 tells us. It says, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. You're dead. If you're a believer, you're dead. In your life is hid with Christ in God. That's it. Steve is no more. You're hid with Christ in God. Your life back there is gone. Our natural life makes us men and women, right? We're born. And our natural life as we come out into this world makes us men and women. Our spiritual life makes us believers. That's what makes us Christians. One life, that first life, that natural life, links us to Adam. That spiritual life links us to Christ. But we're linked. Just as much as I'm linked to those two, and those girls are linked to me, I'm linked, and you're linked to Christ if you're a believer. That's why he uses that word seed. You're his posterity. His children. So the life that Christ has right now at the right hand of the Father, that life is somehow in me. Somehow. Spirit puts it there. Do you by faith, and it's only faith, like I've been trying to explain, I can't word it. Explain it. This thing is so deep. It is so deep. You study and you study and you study and you think, wow, I don't understand it still. I can't go down there and tell people anything. I don't even understand it. So it's all by faith, isn't it? Do you know anything about this birth and life, though? Don't have to be able to explain it. Do you know that something happened, though? Do you know it? You'll know it. Either you know it or you don't know it. That's like being a little bit pregnant, isn't it? Either you are or you're not. Either you knew life or not. It's not religion. It's not even true religion. It's not. It's not even grace religion. Sovereign grace religion. It's not that. Think we're going to be disappointed one of these days when there may be a Methodist or two in church, in heaven with us. So it's not just true religion. There's many religious people, but dead. There's many very, very, very religious people, but they're still dead. There's a wax museum we went through years ago at Guntersville. Well, not Guntersville, Pigeon Forge. Somewhere up there. One of those two. Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge one. But if you've ever been in a wax museum, the way they got those lights, the way the lights are, and they're so dim, it's never really bright, it's just sort of dark in one. People look real, don't they? I mean, that they've made, if it's a good one, those people look real. That's how religious people are. They can look very real. Until what? In our dim light, our stupid eyes, it don't take much to fool us. But you put them in the light of God, whose light is His Son. You compare them to His Son and, nothing like it, is it? That's when it shows up. The very best is a poor imitation of Christ. You got to have His life in you. That seed has got to be in you. Family religion, moral values and virtues, that's just a very well-dressed mannequin. That's all that is. And it's far, far, far from a living child. Somebody wrote this, children of light are righteous men who know themselves to be sinners. Children of darkness are sinners who believe themselves to be righteous. Where's that example? Over in Luke, isn't it? At one man said, Lord, I thank you. I don't do this. I don't do. He's looking around. I don't do like that guy. I don't do like that guy. I'm beyond all that now. I don't do that. And that poor old publican is over there just beaten. He wouldn't even look up. Said, still. No, he didn't even say, Lord, you were merciful to me, a sinner. He said, Lord, be merciful now. Keep being merciful to me, the sinner. Let me reiterate, we become followers of Christ by being made partakers of His life. Say and do what you will, but you can't truly follow unless you're a son. Again, one more time, the vitalness, I know I'm saying it a lot, the vitalness of that word seed. Here's the second thing, seed. Why seed? Well, it's like Him. And it's sad you got to qualify this, but you have to. Many think, like I was saying, that they are like Jesus. I see this on the morning show I talk about sometimes. I get irritated with that young lady. She's not young, young anymore. Always, she thinks she's so much like Jesus. She really does. She just, you can tell she looks down her nose at everybody around her. She's so much like Jesus. But let me, I would like to ask you this. Miss So-and-so, are you all in for, you know, that's the term we use, all in. What does that mean when somebody says, I'm all in? Well, you know, are you supporting me, period? No matter what happens, you ask a fella, are you all in with this now? Because, we're all in. So whatever happens, you keep your job, you lose your job, that's where it used to, you know, are we all in? Well, our Lord was all in for the Father. He came to do His will in every single thing. He was all in. More all in than we'll ever have to be. Right? We'll never compare. But how'd He go about it? Did He go about it with a pomp and arrogance? No fanfare with it. He just went about His daily business doing His Father's will. From a child, He told His mom, He said, I got to do the will of Him who sent me. That's a believer. No fanfare. I got to do the will of Him who sent me. Not perfect. I'll kick the dog next week. I got to do His will, though. All in. That's how true believers are. They're like the Lord. They're like, that's when they mimic Christ. They're like their Lord in that way. As Christ gave all, so should we. That's what He says over in John 12:25. The other part, after that, dropping that seed of corn, He goes on to say this. He said, right after that, it's sort of strange. He says, except a corn of wheat go into the ground and die and bring forth much fruit. Then He says in verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, and there shall also my servant be. In other words, you got to leave all. Another place He says, you got to be willing to hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. What does that mean? You got to leave all. You leave it all. What Christ did, that's what He was about. That's what Jesus' followers do. They're willing to leave it all. You think old what's her name in the morning would leave what she's got up there in New York City? Come on. Wake up, girl. Children are like parents. Not all to the same degree. But the characters, I noticed yesterday, this is how you just pick up. I noticed yesterday Aaron, I've never noticed, just like a bang, looked so much like David. I never noticed that. She just, when she said, hey, I said, hello. And she said, I thought, wow, she looks like her dad. You pick up that character, don't you? You pick it up. You get glimpses of it. And then sometimes, the older you get, sometimes you look even more like. It becomes more distinguished. And you certainly picked up characteristics, don't you? Ways, habits. I see Jason in all kind of ways with Paul. Just characteristics. You just see them. You just see them. They're good. They're good. Sometimes I look at Emma sometimes, and sometimes I'm like, she looks just like Amber. And then the next time she'll look, I say, she looks just like Rod. Sometimes she acts like Amber, sometimes she acts like Rod. That's good too. Let's see, where am I? So the character's there. The stamp of Adam will never be removed from us. It's just not going to be removed. But we should. It should grow fainter. And we should pick up the character of our Lord the older we get. Let me tell you this. If you continue in, I mean, you're going to have, like I said, you're going to always have those kick that dog out the door moments. But if you continue in gross sin, God's love's not in you. The Spirit of Christ is not in you. What I'm talking about, you don't have. If you continue that path. And that's about as simple as you can put it, isn't it? If you continue in those gross sins, missed it. But don't hang yourself this afternoon when you go home and kick the dog out of the way. That's going to come. I would like to say it would come less frequent, but I get aggravated with a dog sometimes still. And the horse and my kids and wife and everything else in life, don't we? Let's go to this now. Why is it through his death, this seed? Why is it through his death? Well, his death opened the avenue for the Father to reunite with us. What's that called? That's reconciliation, isn't it? That's what it did. It allowed the Spirit to dwell in us. Sin separated us. There's no dealing with us by just God. This is all elementary to y'all, I know, but there's no dealing with us by just God until the atoning sacrifice made. There was that huge gulf, and that sacrifice did away with that gulf, did away with that separation, that punishment of sin that our Lord bore for us when he died. It closed that gap if you're a believer. With his death, our relationship with justice changed then. It completely changed. Now we're accepted in the beloved. We're adopted into the family of God. Somebody says, well, you're talking about being born. What's the adopted thing? That is a little confusing sometimes. This is the simple way to look at adoption, as far as I can see it. Adoption is it gives you legal rights as a mature son. So the minute you're born into the kingdom, you're also adopted. You have, if Paul or Jax comes to the Lord at 2 years old, he has legal heir to everything a 90-year-old believer would have. We're all legal, mature sons and daughters. That's what adoption makes us. Immediately. But experimentally, we know this to be true also. That's the legal part of it. The realization by faith of what was done. Just think about your life. The realization by faith for what was done for us as sinners by his suffering. That's what moved us to seek him, isn't it? Didn't it? When we realize what was done for us is what moved us to seek him. What I'm saying is this. Many talk about the character and the life of Jesus. But like I was saying. And they pattern the best they can their lives after Jesus. After what they read and they try to do those things. Which is nothing wrong with that. But that doesn't last. If that's all that got you where you are right now, that won't last. It's his death. It's the realization of what the Spirit reveals to us. What he did for somebody like me, that's what draws us. Understand? It's not me trying to mimic his character. It's what he did for me that draws me, that keeps me. People write, you can go on a computer and pull it up. People write books about mimicking the character of Jesus, and they're not even believers. Right. Tons of folks talk, and you talk about what a good Jehovah's Witnesses believe he was. Mormons believe he was a good man, yeah. And you ought to pattern yourself after him. But he wasn't God. His death really meant nothing more to them than what a martyr. It meant everything to a believer, don't it? So many try to pattern themselves after that character, but they know nothing about the Bible doctrine that brings you to Christ. This substitution and satisfaction. Only when you see his bloody death will you come to admire him. Only then. And then by faith you pursue his character. Galatians 2:20, we've read it. There it is right there. That's it in a nutshell. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, every day by faith, every day by faith, of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith in the blood, faith in the work of Christ, and the realization and the understanding of what that is changes your character forever, forever. The cross seen was spiritualized then. Sin is crucified. The sufferings endured for us makes us realize I'm not my own anymore. I'm bought with a price. Now let's get just briefly into this life part. That's the death, the life part. Posterity exists and remains in perpetuity. Forever. Take me, Britt Worthen. That Worthen seed was a big family beginning 3 or 4 generations ago. Over a couple of 3 counties. Big family. Men had boys. Their boys had more boys. And all of a sudden it just grew. Well, all of a sudden my generation started having girls. All those boys began to have girls. So that Worthen seed will finally be gone. It'll die. That's what happens with humans. It goes away over time. One of these days, Worthen who? And then this part of it, think about this. My great granddad, who had 9, 10, 8, 9, 10 boys, I never knew. He never knew me. He never saw me. See what I'm saying? My great-granddaddy never saw me. Our Lord sees us. He will continue to see, forever see, a forever posterity, and his eyes will always be on it. Never was or will be a time when our Lord did not have a seed. Either in thought, I say that, because that's the only word I have. I mean, there is no thought with him, with our Lord. But in thought or in reality, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's why I was talking about thought. But then in reality, our reality came into fruition, didn't it? Jill said this text is one of indefiniteness. It says it does not imply that the Lord will see and then see no longer. But it stands as a prophecy, fulfilled, always fulfilling, and always to be fulfilled. His church, the churches we know, from Abel to you and I and beyond. Like Jack says, to infinity and beyond. Beyond. Will never die out. Never die out. Not in this present world. The moment it's done, it's done. We're gone. But as long as we're here, it will always continue. May not right here. It's continuing somewhere. And it will then exist in eternity. And in an endless state, our Lord will always see it. He'll see it. And the word is in the plural sense. Seed, you know, like we don't say, well, maybe where I grew up you would. Don't say grass seeds, but you're supposed to say grass seed. It's given that it's singular and plural. It's one of those words. I have, at my house, I have stored seed. I have okra and I have beans. And I've been planting on a pack of okra for 4 or 5 years. Those seed look different every year. You see where my thought's going? This seed, then this seed, then this seed, stored seed. Seed that you'll see in time. Our Lord said this. He said, other sheep I have. Not just you. Other sheep I have. That other seed out there I have that I got to go bring. I must bring. He also said this in his prayer. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe. Like you, when you believed. When you believed. Those are the ones. Those were future seeds, weren't they? They didn't look anything like the seed that Christ had when he was talking that day, did they? They didn't look anything like the seed of Abel, did it? See? Stored seed. But it always goes on, don't it? Seeds. Seeds. More than one. Christ will see generation after generation after generation of those redeemed by his blood and brought into his family. And he's going to call them all blessed. Oh, you're the best one I've ever had. No, you're the best one I ever had. You're blessed. The blessed. You're the best. And then one way this text read was, he shall see a long-lived seed. You know, what is persecution, error, worldliness, all of that bothers us. It makes us nervous. It breaks our hearts to see the looseness that moves in around the churches in churches. But none of that's ever going to destroy it. Not the true church. Not the true church. It'll weed out. It'll weed out. The Bible teaches about that too. All those that have seen, all there ain't a single person out there who with the eyes of his soul has seen the death of our Lord that'll ever weed out. He'll just keep growing. He'll just keep growing. Amen. And then his seed, this is it, his seed, his posterity, is under a proud and a protective eye. We can't see, but our Lord does. We watch here at this church, we watch and hope, we preach and pray for sons and daughters of the kingdom. But we can't see them, can we? We just can't see them. But he does. And we wonder, is there any more here? Is there any more here? Same little group ever. Is there any more? Is there going to ever be any more here? Think about this, though. He keeps sustaining this church. Somehow the other handful of folks got a parking lot paved up there. You know, he sustains it. There's got to be a reason he keeps sustaining this group on Post Road. We'll just keep hoping and praying. Keep on doing what we do. He knows. He sees. The great watcher already sees. He sees, who knows what he sees out there? He sees it. And he sees it with intense delight. I got a guy at 7840 Post Road. I'm going to call next week. Because I know that they're going to be there preaching the gospel. Who knows what he sees? He sees, though. Gatsby said this. Mr. Gatsby wrote this. He said, the Son with joy looks down and sees the purchase of his agonies. He'll see them in life. He'll see you all the way through life. He'll see you through death. You won't be alone. He'll see you through death. And then one morning, he'll see his seed together. Those old crazy Baptists that you used to know about, they used to talk about that family reunion in the sky. Well, there's something to that. There's going to be a family reunion, won't there? Amen. And he'll see it. He'll oversee it. All in that family is going to be equally loved, equally taken care of, all called by their individual names, and all known. All known. That, I think about Mama Worth, and she really didn't. She has a many. She didn't even know me. I was just Terry's boy. You know, but, you know, I know he's a Worthen, but I don't know which one he is for sure. But hey, our Lord knows every one of us equally, equally so. And they're all going to be there. Of all you gave me, I've lost not a single one. I've seen them all. I used to, when I was working at the fire station, we, you know, if you started with a little thing, and sometimes that operation is what you call it, it would grow. And I couldn't see everybody. So I would say, hey, you designate different people to watch this area. And I said, well, look, make sure you put your eyes on them now. You know, you worry about folks. Put your eye on them. Because I can't. I couldn't see them. But our Lord has got his eye on every... It don't get far enough out there where he can't see you. Okay.